Morning. Thank you for that special song. I feel like we don't need another message after singing such a song. And I hope it spoke to your heart and as it did to mine, to remind again the awesomeness of the cross by which we are saved. We've been looking at past many times that I preached. We were looking together from 1 Peter and then on to 2 Peter, but this morning I'm not going back to 2 Peter. We will probably come back and pick up another time. But before I get to my message this morning, I want a couple of things I want to say. Thank you for your prayers while we were gone to Florida for a few days. We had overall speaking, it was a good time. But a tremendously challenging time too, very lots of heavy physical labor involved after the cleaning up after the hurricane. Where we went to, there was a lot of damage, number of trees all over the place, roads and places. So that was a primary hard work cleaning up, and that is still going on. And the assembly there had some loss. One of the office building lost the entire roof, is gone. Many other losses are there. I know a couple of weeks ago we took a special collection about the relief. We received about pretty close to $3,000 or something. We put some from the chapel, and $4,000 was split between three assemblies. One where I went to, the assembly in Florida, and we sent some to the South Houston, the Spanish assembly there, for help some believers there, and the last chunk went to, I believe, St. Thomas, Brother Clayton Watkins, and they have a tremendous loss. What we did is really a drop in the bucket, but be encouraged. For being a part of God's people and their needs. I want to bring another need that has been in my mind. Normally, we don't speak much about money from this pulpit, but I'm going to break the law rule here a little bit. I'm not asking for money, but I want to consider a tremendous need that has come up in the recent few months, maybe in a year or two, back home in India. If you realize or not, numerous new assemblies have come up in remote villages and places all over India, at least known about 300 to 400 assemblies. These are nearly 6 months, two-year-old, three-year-old assemblies that are formed, well over 400 of them. Because of the current situation there, people cannot meet in the homes anymore. They have to have something that is called a common place to meet. So the need is tremendously large for nearly 400 assemblies to build something small. Some of them can be finished in $1,500. Some can be finished in $3,000. Some can be finished in $5,000. You know, they're not looking for chapels like this. They just want four walls and a roof above their head so they can meet together without any fear. One brother in this assembly took the challenge when I spoke, and he sponsored one assembly hall. The assembly itself, ourselves from the chapel, we did one. So there are two of them are under finish, but out of 400, two is nothing. The reason I brought it up is, number of us in this room, if you put our mind and do a little sacrifice, can pick up one chapel and finish it off. $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, I think we can do it. That's why I want to extend that challenge to you. Consider it, pray about it. You can pick, I have a list of about nearly 40 of them with me. These are all the assemblies that we have talked to. We do all the groundwork, so it is not fake, fake news as you hear. So it is real. So I have a list of at least 40 in my hand. Not now, but you can pick anywhere you want to sponsor and help an assembly hall to be completed. So please be challenged about that. The assembly in Florida has sent a thank you note. I will post it on the bulletin. Won't take time to read. We often hear and speak about a particular phrase that I want to talk about this morning. That phrase is to that we often say we in our prayers we pray for others, and those of us who grow up in back home in Kerala, we heard it a million times in our language, that same phrase, to live for God's glory, to live for God's glory. We pray for others, so and so may live for God's glory. We pray for our young people that they may live for God's glory. In Malayalam, it is called Devanama Mahatathinai. You have heard it many times. So maybe it's a common phrase that is used to live for God's glory. I want you to pause for a second and see, what does it mean to live for God's glory? How do we do it? It is a phrase that comes right out of the scriptures. Many, many times over it is mentioned. But how do we respond and live for God's glory? What do I need to do? Is there any scriptural references or examples that we can draw? So that's what I'm going to do this morning. A little bit together to look at about the God's glory and our response to it. Revelation of God's glory and response to the glory of God. I just want to turn one quick reference to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. That's only just a reference passage that I want to start off with. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. It is a familiar verse to many of us. We may have read it many times. 6 and verse 19. I speak in human terms because the weakness of your flesh, for just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and lawlessness, leading more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of... No, I'm sorry. I am in a different passage. Just a few pages over. You are all wondering. Nobody said anything. You thought I am reading some different translation or something. Anyway, sorry about that. Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 and 20. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Here is a statement, a phrase that we often use. Therefore, glorify God. Well, it says in your body, and other things are in that passage. Glorify God. Just pause and yourself and ask, how do I do this? But if you already know the answer, you can probably turn me off and go to sleep. But if you're not, we are going to look together a little bit about the glory of God. How do we glorify God? When we come through the scriptures, we see God has revealed himself to us in many forms and many ways and different times. Hebrews 1 and 1. From different times, he revealed himself and his glory in different ways. God's revelation of his glory is designed that we may know him. It is not only for his own glory, but the glory that is revealed to us, it is given in our scriptures, that we may know him. It is not to scare us off, but that we may know him a little better, that we will come consider as we go on. And those who know him, to worship. The obedience and express their love for him by their actions. To worship, leading us to service, part of it is coming from the revelation of God's glory to us. So God's revelation of his glory is designed that we may know him. Those who know him, to worship, obedience and express their love for him by their actions. Now, a response to a question, what is the chief end of man? The answer was given, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. So we are going to look at a few more verses concerning about the requirement or talking about God's glory and how glorify him. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 12. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 12. that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him. The name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you. Well, how do I do this? And you in him, according to the grace of our Lord Jesus God and the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. First Peter 4 and verse 11. This is a very familiar passage to many of us, especially for the preachers. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. In all these things, that in all things God may be glorified. Just one more passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. Therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. That's a tremendous statement. Whether we eat or drink, and then Paul leaves a wide open statement saying, whatever you do, for the glory of God. So these are some passages that says that we are to live to glorify God in our life. Now, before we can glorify God, we must have a concept of the glory of God. So we will briefly look at but the concept itself. What do you mean by glory of God? Once that glory of God is revealed to us, it is for our response. How do we respond to that? Is the couple of things that we will look together. Now, there's a quote that says, the Westminster Catechism declares, this is what it says, God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. Let me read it again. God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. This is briefly an explanation of who God is. And if you look at these attributes of God, every attribute of God, his wisdom, power, love, mercy, grace, justice, and holiness, and truth, he possesses all of this in the character of God. Every one of them that is said, we read through the scriptures, he possesses it to an infinite degree. No measure, no limit of how much of it is. Every one of them, if you look at through the scriptures, you can see God's revelation of his character, of his love, mercy, grace, justice, holiness, and truth. All these are displayed throughout the scriptures in an infinite degree, means no limit. It is revealed to us. And not only that he possesses these characters in him, he takes glory in every one of these attributes. Every one of them. God takes glory to himself in these attributes. As an illustration, someone said there was a maid in a home who was doing all the work in the house and cleaning and things like that. And nowadays they are very hard to find around, but she was very prompt in everything she did and kept the house immaculate and always clean and did the job well on time. It was always clean and orderly and ready for the master. And she was asked, why you do this? So perfect, so immaculate and ready every single time. But her answer was a simple word. I have a little glory in what I do. It talks about God when he does these characters that are being revealed to us in through the scriptures, God takes glory in it. God takes glory in it. He takes a justifiable pride to say, well, we may say pride is a bad word in the spiritual aspect, but God takes justifiable pride in who he is and what he does. So what is God's glory? What else can we find about what's God's glory? The God's glory is that within the person of God, within the person of God in which he finds delight in himself, and that in which he takes justifiable pride. He takes delight in himself, and he also takes justifiable pride in who he is and displaying these attributes of him towards human being. Well, only thing is that we as human beings, we have something called the false pride. So we are pretty much against it. But we should take justifiable pride if there are in things that we do. Sometimes I may have quoted the word holy pride. There is no such thing, the reference in the scriptures. Don't look for a verse. But God takes justifiable pride in him, what who he is. And spiritually speaking, we can to some extent take justifiable pride in what we do in our service, in our worship to him. And not to take the pride in the sense of glorifying ourselves, but to bring the glory to him. But we must clearly distinguish between the false and the justifiable. When God reveals himself, he reveals himself and displayed in excellence. In every sphere you can, throughout the scriptures you look at, when he reveals his glory, it is displayed in the fullest excellence in itself. And that should really humble us when it is revealed to us. We see his glory is revealed in creation. But God's glory in what he is, the person of himself, is more revealed than what is revealed in creation. As human beings, we look at the creation and we say, wow, what an awesome God he is. But he takes himself beyond that, and not only what he does and what he created on this earth, the face of this earth, but who he is the delight in his own heart. You know, we talk about, well, many of you are medical people, professionals, you know, when you look at the very, very nature of a human body, we are simply at awe to understand how God's wisdom and knowledge and power and majesty is displayed in us, in our human body. So that is, the creation itself is a display of his glory. Psalmist says in Psalm 19 and verse 1, heavens declare the glory of God. Sometimes it is good for us to go out and look up to the sky, look around and see the glory of God is being revealed. In Romans chapter 2, I believe that God's glory is revealed in creation, that no man will have ever any excuse the existence of God. Even places the scripture is never available in many parts of the world. So his creation itself is a revelation of the glory of God. Where do we see the revelation of these attributes? Well, the one final display of God's glory and the attributes of God is found in one place. It is at Calvary. We see the full display of God's glory revealed in his Son, in his death on the cross, his burial and his resurrection, which we remembered this morning to some extent. The God's fullness of his character, his attribute, all that he is, his wisdom, power, love, mercy, grace, and truth, and holiness and justice are all fulfilled in the very person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there we can see him as he is dying on the cross, the God's glory being displayed on the cross. Sometimes we tend to get carried away by feeling sorry for him being there. Don't you ever feel sorry for him. He is there for a reason, to display God's glory in his fullest extent, to reveal himself to the human being, mankind, to see him in the fullness of glory, being his through his son. So when we see the glory of God, when the revelation of God's glory came to us, most of us, when we were sinners, the day that we accepted the Lord as our Savior, I hope you had a little glimpse of God's glory that was revealed in and through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of that, we have come to a very special relationship because of that revelation of God the Father. Now, there are numerous passages throughout the Old Testament. We can see physical evidences of God's glory revealed. We know where Moses was given a very glimpse of the very tail end of God's glory, and he was already covered behind the rocks, so he won't be killed. The people of Israel saw a little bit away from the far, at a far distance, on Mount Sinai, and they didn't have a full glimpse of him, but a very small amount of God's glory being present there. They said, "No, not for us, please. We don't want to see this." And we can see throughout the scriptures many, many times God revealing his glory in his full extent. We see at Babel what happened. We see that in throughout the history, many number of times that God revealing his glory and the power and his majesty. And finally on the cross, by sending his only son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for us. What is our response when we go through the revelation of God's glory? But eventually at the final display of that on the cross of Calvary, how do I respond to that? Today there are millions of people who hear the gospel. They may not fully understand the revelation of God's glory as we are looking this morning together, but they know to some extent the Spirit of God will reveal to themselves there is something far beyond that human can comprehend. Millions are being drawn to him. There are people who have never heard anybody preach the gospel, never read any gospel tracts, who has come to know God by simply recognizing there is someone who is glorious than all this is. And they sought after him, and God took and revealed himself to them. So God's revelation is which that also bring us to the foot of the cross. And you and I were saved that day. I can remember almost when I was 11-year-old boy in a Sunday school class, early morning Sunday school. There I saw him in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." There was only one display of God's attribute there, his love. And that took hold of my young mind, and I said yes to him. I don't know if you can think of the day that you were attracted to him. Perhaps what was the attribute of God that was revealed to him? Maybe his power and majesty was. Maybe his resurrection itself from the dead, which is something that you couldn't comprehend, and that probably attracted you to him. Maybe it was the death that he was on the cross. He is uttering to him, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I don't know what it cost you to come to the foot of the cross, to acknowledge and admit yourself to God. It probably varies from person to person. Sometimes some of us has had a full picture of a whole glory of God to some extent through his death on the cross. This morning as we were around this table to remember him, yes, we proclaim his death. But when we proclaim his death, we remember that we are really proclaiming the revelation of God's glory through his son, the love that was displayed through him, allowing his son to be crucified for us. The depth of love, we sing about it. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus. We sing sometime that song. We sit at the foot of the cross and simply say, almost running out of words what to say. I had that such experience sometimes. I sit before God and think of him, what has happened there on the cross. He ran out of words what to say. simply to awfully bring that awe-ness and bring worship to him when the revelation of his glory comes to us. When you go through the scriptures, when you think about him, when we meditate upon him, when we sing of his sufferings, his death and resurrection and his body and the blood, we should really lift our hearts in full worship and revelation of God's glory, God the Father. One day, a rebellious man walked through the streets of Jerusalem, and his only intention was to destroy anyone who has come to this faith. And he had the authority to do it. And he was there at the gate of Damascus. He reached there with the authority holding in his hand. But God revealed his glory. You know who I am talking about. The greatest man of ever in the history of the New Testament, Apostle Paul. He thought he was somebody greater than anybody else. He thought he had the authority. He thought he had everything going for him. But all it takes was a split of a second. God revealed his glory at the gate of Damascus. And he said, "Lord, what shall I do?" Sometimes we come to that point when the revelation of God's glory comes to us. And there we know the story after that. What shall I do? "Lord, what will thou have me to do?" We read that in Acts chapter 9 and verse 6. There was a response, quick response to the revelation of God's glory. That's what I want to bring to you. Whenever God reveals his glory through the scripture, through the messages, through as you read through the scriptures, what is your response to that? Paul had a right response, and he said, "Lord, please tell me what I should do." Now we read about a prophet Isaiah, who went up to the temple. There the glory of God appeared in Isaiah 6 and 3. We won't take time to read it. And he saw the revelation of God's glory, and he said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Isaiah, when he saw him lifted up, he saw the glory of God revealed to him. He pretty much running out of words to utter. And he said, "The whole earth is full of his glory." He saw the train of his robe filling the temple. Verse 1 of chapter 6. What did Isaiah do? It is one thing to have a revelation and understanding and a vision of God's glory, but it's another thing to have a response to that. What was Isaiah's response? Confessing his own unworthiness, he said, "Woe is me." Well, sometimes you and I want to pray for forgiveness of our sins. We feel guilty sometimes. I do sometimes too. I'm not blaming anybody. Is that because we are feeling guilty, or is it because we have the great understanding or somewhere through the scriptures or the word that you ever heard, a revelation of God's glory comes and you feel, "Oh, what to me? I am undone, man." And then he praised for God's forgiveness. That's a big difference. Isaiah said, "Woe is me." Then he added, "Send me." I have heard testimonies of many godly people who has left almost everything they have going in this world, financially, physically, morally, you know, socially. They had everything going good for them, and they gave up everything and left for the full service of God. As a human being, as a man looking at him and such people, I would say, "What a fool he is. He had everything going good for him. Everything was in his favor, things going good. Why would he want to leave everything behind and go and serve the Lord?" And I heard numerous stories, numerous examples, and I'm sure you did too. The testimony of God's people said, "All this is nothing but a dung," when they saw the glory of God. God's glory was revealed to them at some point, and they said, "All this is going to be temporary. I'm going to follow this person." Just as Isaiah said, "Woe is me," then he also said, "Send me." Many people have said that. I just, not too long ago, maybe a month or two ago, I heard the testimony of a dear family who had everything going good for in this country, left everything behind, went to the most difficult remote place in the northern part of India to serve the Lord. Are they fools? No. They had a greater understanding and a vision and a glory of God, and they said, this is a million times better, far glorious than anything I have on this earth. And they left serving the Lord there. In Exodus chapter 15, we read records of praise offered to God by the children of Israel after God delivered them through the Red Sea. Now they are on the other side of the Red Sea. They saw what God has done. And the tremendous thing that they just saw, almost impossible thing that any human being can ever do, they saw the glory of God revealed there. There was a heart of worship with the thousands of people together. Maybe sometime you should take time and go back and read what they wrote, what Moses wrote in that chapter after they passed over. And they talked about how grace that God is. And they saw the glory of God. More than the sea being divided, more than they were able to cross, more than that anywhere, than that the enemies destroyed, they were going far beyond that and to see God's glory revealed in that action. And they talked about it. There's a whole chapter or two about their praise and their worship in that book. We won't take time to read that. We find it in Exodus 15, verse 1, verse 11, and throughout that passage. You don't have to go very far other than the book of Psalms, where psalmists have seen the God's glory and praise came out of them numerous times. I was going to read at least some of them, but I don't think we will have enough time. Psalm 24, verse 7 to 10. Psalm 66, verse 1 to 5. Psalm 111, verse 1. Praising God when they saw the glory of God. Psalm 111, verse 2 to 10. Gives the reason why they are worshipping and praising him, because they just had a revelation and a vision of God's glory before their eyes, and they said, we are going to worship and praise God. The Levites stand and led in worship in Nehemiah chapter 9. We know that passage. They stood before God and they led their entire congregation in worship because they just saw God's glory revealed before them. In 1 Chronicles 16, verse 23 to 29, David, when the Ark of the Covenant returned, we know the story there. His heart was overwhelmed, not because of this Ark that is in front of him. His eyes went beyond that and saw the glory of God revealed in that. And there he sang and worshipped, and he led other gods, people of God, into full worship. Well, what is our response? I want to question myself and yours. What is our response? We see a progression of response in some of these passages, some of these things that we just saw. Every revelation that God has given of himself in Scripture reveals the fact that he is a God of infinite glory. That is one thing we should never forget. If that is so, how do I glorify God? When one responds to that glory as it befits the revelation, whatever that revelation of that moment, perhaps at the time of your conversion, the revelation you had about the cross was that revelation, and you responded according to that. So whatever the revelation of the time, it reveals the fact that as it befits the revelation, we will glorify God. When you are saved, yes, you are saved, but there is something else happened. God took glory on your salvation that day when you said yes to Christ. God was glorified the day that I was saved. God was glorified when you were saved. Yes, the end result is you are the one who received it, but the glory goes to him. When man lives in fellowship with the God who has revealed himself, recognizing his glory. What is the reason? What is the reason behind for you and me to have an intimate fellowship with God? Is it because he blessed us with all blessings that we enjoy? Yes, that may be one reason, but that is a very meager reason, I would say. But if you want to respond to him and to fellow, you walk in fellowship with God, I recommend that you have an understanding and a vision and a revelation of God's glory. Therefore, I want to be in fellowship with this, such a glorious God. Yes, it is good to have fellowship because such a God, faithful who he is, who provides for our daily needs, it's good to have that fellowship. But go beyond that and have fellowship with a God who reveals his glory in everything. You can see God's glory, revelation in very small things in your life. It doesn't have to be a huge Irma hurricane come through and you are alive. Well, that's true too. I saw that when I was traveling. Hundreds of people. They lost almost everything. But their lives are alive and they are still alive. I don't know how many of them understand this is God's glory in revelation, that they may open their eyes and see him. I'm sure many Christians, many believers perhaps did. God's protection upon them like a shell, keeping them alive. And when we see such revelation of God's glory through our life, we should respond accordingly, according to the revelation of that moment. That brings us to the fellowship with one who has revealed himself. God is glorious, and when we respond to his glory with worship, in numerous times, almost in every single time, God revealed his glory through somehow, through the words, through the scriptures, through an action, through a blessing, through a protection, through a guidance, through a scripture, through a song, through a word, through a prayer, through the fellowship of another brother or sister. God reveals his glory to us. And one number one and the first and the foremost response should be to worship him. Well, we don't have time to go through, you know, Revelation chapter 4 and chapter 7, two places. His glory was revealed, and we, millions and millions of heavenly beings, fall prostrate before him, and they worshipped. And I hope you and our hearts will be exercised this morning as we go through life, situations in life. Try to find God's glory in it, who he is, and his attributes revealed. And after worship, we glorify him by enjoying that sweet fellowship with him. And we continue to enjoy that sweet fellowship and that wonderful worship, not only here on this earth, through the coming eternity. That is exactly what God has in plan for us, and God wants every one of us. So what is your response? To have a glimpse and an understanding of God's glory, and a response according to the revelation of that time, or the moment, or that one thing that happened in your life, or the one passage that you read, a song that you sang. And I'm sure this morning when we were singing that wondrous cross, and I hope you saw God's glory there and bring your heart drawn to him. I never can sing that song without pausing myself. I just look at it, the words of it, looking beyond and seeing God's glory in it, and bring glory and worship unto him. When we serve him, what is the basis of your service to him? Is it because, I have to do this? Or is it because I'm serving such a glorious God, knowing and revelation and understanding of him? Therefore, I humbly submit myself and count it as a privilege to serve him. Our Father, this morning we come to thee this morning once again. Thank you for who you are and a little glimpse of what we get from the scriptures. You have revealed that to each and every one of us individually, personally, at different times in our life. Father, we pray as we go from here, as we walk our life through the coming week, we pray that may the revelation of God's glory may be revealed to us in a very gentle way sometimes, that we may recognize it, acknowledge it, and reveal that is revealed to us, and we may fall prostrate before him to worship, to love him, to enjoy the fellowship, and also to serve him faithfully. Pray for every one of us in this room, for your continued blessing upon us. We give thee thanks. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.